Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo broadcasting live from Fairbanks, Alaska. I'll be on my way to Anchorage tomorrow, but today we have got, due to the wonders of technology, my guest who is in the Seattle, Washington area, Bethany Maradian, and we're going to be talking about two of her publications. Interestingly, they do dovetail together. But for those of you that might be looking for that extra cash, and you wanted to know how you could do it and do it in a way that is going to be fun, interesting, and diverse in what would be required, well, we're going to be finding out exactly what that is all about. Bethany, I want to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Donna.
Bethany, I met you at the Women's Show this past March, and I found out that you had two books that you had published. One was called The Mystery Shopper, and you have a training program for that. And then your other one is titled I Got Scammed, So You Don't Have To. Both of these books really have so much information in them that if someone at this time is wanting to find a way of making extra money, both of these books are a very good read. And I was especially intrigued by your Mystery Shopper training program. And I wanted you to let us know, of course, you say you're queen of the random job. What in the world ever got you involved in becoming a mystery shopper? That sounds so intriguing, but I've talked to some people and they go, gee, I don't know if I could do that. How did you get into it?
Oh, well, it's a lot of fun, and I stumbled upon it. In my real life, I'm actually a puppeteer. I have a degree in puppetry, which I got from the Evergreen State College, and I've done a few things here and there with it. But puppeteers don't really make a lot of money. So I found that I had to find all these different little things just to kind of supplement my income and still feed my puppetry habit. So, yeah, I've babysat, I've walked dogs, I've delivered phone books, I've worked for the census, I've been a virtual assistant. I was Ronald McDonald's bodyguard for a while, and Ronald McDonald's bodyguard?
You would be surprised. He needs a bodyguard? You have got to be kidding.
Oh, no, 13-year-old boys are the worst. They want to step on his feet, pull his hair, and when he's in parades, a lot of kids come up out of the audience because they just want to come up and give him a great big hug. So he needs someone to kind of stand by him and just make sure he isn't mauled to death, frankly, which can be kind of
amazing.
Yeah, so I found out about mystery shopping just in a book, and all it said was that, you know, call up the local market research section of your phone book and you can get started. So I did, and I found one company, and I did a couple shops for them, and then I realized, I bet there's other companies that do this. And so here I am 12 years later. I'm signed up with over 150 companies. I've shopped in 9 different states, 2 different provinces. I've been a mystery shopper, a scheduler, an editor. I've trained mystery shopping companies' shoppers. I've worked with small businesses to help set up their programs. I wrote a book, and I produced a video. And for 2 years, I ran Shop Incognito, which was a full-service mystery shopping company in the Detroit area. So I've kind of done it all.
My goodness. Now, yeah. With the mystery shopping, tell us what it was. The very first job you ever had to do, because in your book, The Mystery Shopper Training Program, and there is, I believe, a CD, DVD that goes along with this book, and you're pretty thorough in your information. Why is it that companies even do this? Why do they want it? I mean, somebody may say, Donna, gee, it's common sense, but what are the variables that they're looking for?
Well, it depends on the company. A lot of them do it just for market research. Mystery shopping actually started to kind of evaluate the employees to make sure they were being honest. So people would go in and pay cash to make sure that the employees gave back the correct change, they gave a receipt, they closed the cash drawer. And some people were actually hired to try and steal things to make sure that the employees were on their toes. But, you know,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was quite fascinating when it first started in the 1940s, 1950s. That's kind of how it first started. But then, you know, technology caught up, and we have the checkpoint stands, we have the security cameras, so we don't really need that service. So mystery shopping just evolved into a customer service-oriented program because employees really wanted to know, well, how are our employees treating our customers? Are they upselling? Are they suggestive selling? Are they available to customers when they're walking around, you know, like some of the big box stores where you walk down hundreds of aisles just to find one person to help you? They want to evaluate the sales racks. And sometimes they want to evaluate the competition. Like if there's a, you know, small banks or small apartment buildings, they want to see, well, what's my competition doing up the street? So they'll hire mystery shoppers to do that. Mystery shoppers are also hired to evaluate fair housing laws and FDIC requirements for banks. So we're used for a whole bunch of different things. It's a lot of fun.
When someone makes an application, when they're doing it, and you can do it online if you don't have internet access, which obviously my audience does, then there's different applications. And again, you're very thorough in your book. But I found it interesting that you really have to maintain yourself very carefully because you do not want to be discovered. And in your book, you talk about an experience where you were discovered to be a mystery shopper and you had to bluff your way out of it. Now, some people might have a challenge saying, oh, my goodness, if I have to lie, this is really going to be bad. So let's cover that aspect. What are the ethics of a mystery shopper, and what are the requirements by a company, and do they have different requirements for different companies?
Well, yes, every company is going to have their own rules that they want you to follow. Even though you're a mystery shopper, you're still an independent contractor for each mystery shopping company. So you're going to have to sign an independent contractor agreement and a confidentiality agreement for every single company. And each one's different. So I do tell people you have to read through all of it. But you do have to be honest. And a lot of people, they're concerned when they first start shopping, especially because they think that they're lying. I don't see it as lying. I see it as acting. You're an actor. You're playing a role. The mystery shopping company, they tell you what role to play. They tell you, you know, if you're doing a restaurant shop and if it's a lunch shop, they'll tell you sometimes what to order or what day to go on. If you're doing an apartment shop, they'll tell you, you know, the size of apartment you're looking for, if you can have pets, if you have kids, that type of thing. So you're given this script to follow. And it's very important that you do follow that script because that's what their client is looking to evaluate. And in terms of the ethics of mystery shopping, you can't reveal who shops who. What we call that in the industry is, you know, just who shops who, the clients of companies. And the reason for that, I mean, there's a whole bunch, but mainly mystery shopping companies don't want to reveal their clients to other mystery shopping companies because then that may give incentive to go and steal clients away. So we're not allowed to tell anybody who shops who, and we're not allowed to reveal anything that we learn throughout the course of our assignment because that breaks confidentiality. We can't go running over to McDonald's, telling McDonald's what we know about Burger King. It's just not allowed.
All right. Now, let's talk about the money end. Now,
okay.
From what you have expressed in the book, there are a gazillion people out there that are making applications to be a mystery shopper. Mm-hmm. There are some companies that will say, pay me a fee before we bring you on. Now, as far as I'm concerned, that is something that would sort of turn me off. But you've got more expertise at this than I have, and obviously you've done your homework on this, otherwise you couldn't have put together such a good book regarding this particular situation. Talk about the flake factor that they have to deal with.
Well, the flake factor with mystery shoppers, there's a lot of people who want to be mystery shoppers, but they don't really realize that this is a job. And unfortunately, a lot of people will take assignments and then just not do them. So to get started as a mystery shopper, there's a bit of a curve because a scheduler has to trust you enough to keep giving you assignments. They're not going to give you a high-end shop, your first shop out of the door. They're just not. So they'll give you a shop. They'll see how you do. If you do okay and you do it when you say you're going to do it, then they'll give you another one. And it just keeps building from there. But I do want to say no mystery shopper should ever pay a mystery shopping company for the joy and privilege of working for them. They shouldn't. It's actually really unethical in our industry. So I tell people, you do not have to pay any money, ever. If you want to pay for training, like my book, you're more than welcome to. But you do not need to pay any company for the joy and privilege of working for them, because those aren't real mystery shopping companies. They don't charge shoppers.
All right. That's very good to know. Now, let's talk. And by the way, speaking of the courses that you offer, there's also an MSPA certification course. There is a what they call the $15 silver online course, and then there is the gold level, and there are actual one-on-one workshops or a DVD program, and they're priced at $99. So apparently this has developed into a level where there is somewhat of a certification, but it's not a requirement on the part of many people, and it's just is amazing what people do. And you give all of this specific information. It's very, very, very clear, and you go into various scams that can be done. But let's talk about paying to shop.
Okay.
Not paying, being paid to shop.
Well,
let me revise
the
that.
Income.
Because there are different levels, and you talked about one job you did where you worked for 15 hours, you got paid $300, and there are what you call the lower levels and the upper levels. Go into that a little bit.
Well, it really depends on the company, and it depends on the assignment, what each shop is, their pay level for each shop. Some mystery shopping companies will have apartment shops at $20. Other mystery shopping companies will have higher-end apartment shops for $50 or $75. It just depends on the company and the assignment. Now, I tell people when you're first starting out, when you're brand new to mystery shopping, you've never done it before, you're just getting started, I tell people to expect between $300 and $600 per month. $300 is doing 15, $20 assignments, and that is really, really, really easy to do. Now, the most I've ever made per month as a mystery shopper was about $2,500. It's actually more than whatever my highest was in the book, yeah. But I've been doing this for a while. I've been doing this for over a decade. And that one day, my shopping day was making $300. That was one of my best shopping days. And it was so much fun. I had six apartment shops for $50 each that I had to get done. It was a 15-hour day because the apartments were located in Bellingham, which is about an hour and a half drive from Seattle. So including the drive time, including the shop time, and including writing up the form, it was a 15-hour day. But when you're making $300, that's just $20 an hour job as a mystery shopper, and that's awesome. That's really, really good. So I was very happy with it.
Yes. Well, what's interesting is that with some of the jobs, you might get benefits like eating, you know, restaurants or various things. There's all kinds of different agendas. Now, you are, in your book, you have more than 170 different opportunities for people to explore. And if you don't want to be outside of your area, you don't have to be outside your area. But if you're willing, like you were, traveling from where you are, and that's an hour, sometimes an hour and a half commute from where you are up to that other area in Washington, then okay. But you do have to keep records because this is a business, and you have to notify them of mileage traveled and all kinds of things. And you've got all kinds of forms in here. Now, I wanted to also mention your other book, I Got Scammed, So You Don't Have To.
Yes.
This, there were so many things. I had my highlighter, which I always do when I'm reviewing material. You made a statement in one of your books. Desperation is never good for cash flow.
Yes.
And I think just about anybody walking on two legs and has any maturity can say amen to that, because our emotions get into it. We make decisions, and sometimes those decisions cost a lot. I had a chuckle, though, when in your very first chapter you said, scammers impress me greatly. They are the quintessential salesmen and master magicians, convincing you to do things and believe words with little to no proof of reliability, legitimacy, or results. And I had to chuckle because I encountered someone. Now, they called me at my office. They said they were working, you know, involved with Microsoft. They had a total line that was just absolutely believable. Had to do with corrupt computer programs. And I was on the phone with that guy for a half hour, and all of a sudden there was one word that he used or something that he said, and I went, bing, scam. And I just was so furious with myself. And sure enough, I checked with someone that I knew at Microsoft what had happened, and they said, oh, Donna, this is a scam. This has been happening. This has been going on. These people are intimidating individuals with the computers and telling them this is going to crash on you, that's going to crash. Very knowledgeable people, probably calling you from India. And I went, oh, my Lord. So that was an example that I just went through recently. You really decided to get down and really get into some information about scamming. What happened to you that said, what made you think, I got to write a book about this?
Well, it's so funny because people, they ask me all the time, okay, so the title of the book is I Got Scammed, So You Don't Have To. It really started as a silly thing when I was in college. I was 19. No, I guess I was younger then. I must have been 17 or 18. This was my first year in college. And I fell for the stuffing envelopes at home. I just did. I sent away 1995 thinking that I was going to become a millionaire, stuffing envelopes at home. And instead, I got this letter, Xeroxed 100,000 times, so it was horrible and blurry, saying that all I had to do was place an ad in the newspaper telling other people to send me 1995, and then I would send them that piece of paper telling them to place an ad in the newspaper. And, of course, it's just a pyramid scheme. It's mail fraud. It's horrible. But since then, I just, you know, I keep my eyes open. And, again, going back to being a puppeteer and having to find all these random things, I've stuck my toe in a lot of different things. I'm very lucky that I haven't lost a lot of money because I always do the research. My father was a newspaper editor for 40 years, and one of his famous things that he would always tell me is do your homework. Do your homework. Never trust anything that you see, read, or hear at face value. And from that, I researched, and I love to research. And when the Internet started getting more and more popular, and I started seeing all these other things coming around, I was like, now, that doesn't seem quite right. How is it not quite right? And I would do the research, and I'd figure it out. And that's why in the book, I give people a lot of the technical mumbo-jumbo that you don't normally learn how to trace emails or track IP addresses or really learn how to see who is behind the company profile that you see online. So I try to give people those tools so that they don't have to ask, okay, is this real or is it a scam? Because that's the hardest part, just being able to trust whether or not what you're looking at is real or not.
That is very true. And in today's world, the scamming efficiency just seems to have become even more refined, and information is passed around so fast, especially on the Internet. It's just absolutely amazing. Now, you say here a few reasons why scammers scam. One, they want your money. They want your information, your Social Security number, credit card info, bank account info, etc. They want to use you to get other people's money or information, and they can get away with it. Now, one of the things I know that I have been very much aware of because of working with a fraud department at a bank, that whenever you're doing any kind of financial transaction, you never, ever go through your regular search engines. You go through the search box at the top, look for the lock, make sure that everything is secure before you do any kind of financial transaction, because the sophistication of the crooks is absolutely amazing. And they often will have what I call a screen that is hidden that downloads any information you may put in, and that's how people's bank accounts get compromised, etc. But you also, in this book, that you have another side that you put in where you want people to be aware that they shouldn't be afraid of MLMs. And almost all of us know that are listening to the show that this means multi-level marketing. Yes, there are some companies that scam on this, but there are so many good businesses that have been operating for years, and good businesses that are even starting up using this. And your opinion was this is a great opportunity for someone, if they do their homework, to find a company they'd like to work with and develop maybe a business if they are of the entrepreneurial nature.
Absolutely. I am a huge fan of network marketing, direct sales, multi-level marketing. What I don't like about the industry is the cheesy hotel seminars and the whole, oh, you have to get in now mentality, because it's really about building a business. And in the book, you know, I talk about, I consider it more mini franchising. And you wouldn't open up a Subway franchise if you didn't do your research, if you didn't, you know, do some evaluations. Is this something that I can really see myself doing for the next 3, 5, 10, 15 years, however long? And what I don't like about MLM is you know, a lot of times people will just be pushed into it because they're sold on the ideas but not really understanding that it's a business. You really should develop some kind of a business plan. You really have to think about your customers and marketing and all of that. But for the people who have the entrepreneurial fire in them, and for the people who, you know, they want to do something, they just don't know what, direct sales, network marketing, multi-level marketing, they are wonderful. They're business in a box. You have everything that you need. You just need to actually, you know, sit down and do the business. So I am a huge fan of it, and actually in the book I think I have over 85 companies that offer those types of businesses to open.
You go into quite a bit of additional information. You have a chapter on common job-related scams. Of course, chain letters and pyramid schemes have been around forever. You mentioned how you got suckered into envelope stuffing, job placement scams, medical billing transcription, payment processing, payroll clerk, check cashing. I think we've all gotten those emails from Nigeria, from England, from various places saying, hello, I'm Miss Princess so-and-so, or Mr. Bongo Bongo, and this is what I can do for you, and I need to have an account to put money in. I mean, it's just amazing. This stuff is still going on. But people still fall for it. And you go in to legitimate businesses that can be very, 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 very good, and you bring up a way of how to identify scams. You call it scram. And S is, and that's S-C-R-A-M. S is scrutinize a source. C is check for affiliate links, surveys, and fees. R, research the heck out of every little bit of information they give you. A, ask for more information. M, mouse over images and links to see where they really go. Boy, that's an eye-opener. You will find sometimes when you put your mouse over something and tap it, bingo, you are going to sites that you didn't even have an interest in getting out to. Then they pop up with a screen saying, you know that if you discontinue this, if you don't continue, everything's going to disappear. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. Everything won't disappear except them. You just go ahead and step out of it. What's very unsettling is that often they've automatically gotten your address, and then you'll start getting all kinds of emails that you had never even imagined would come your way.
Oh, yes.
How can someone protect themselves against that?
Well, actually, I don't encourage people to click on the links. If you just mouse over a link, it will show you in the lower destination browser bar where you're going. So you don't actually have to click on anything to see where it would take you, which is kind of nice. But I also, in the book, I teach people how to open up the full headers of your emails. Most people, when you see a header, it's to, from, subject line. That's what you have. But if you open it up, you'll see all the little technical gobbledygook. And I've seen it before where I've gotten job offers, you know, people saying that they're in Atlanta, Georgia. And if you open up the full header, you can take an IP address and go to arin.net, A-R-I-N.net. Just copy and paste the IP address into that website, and it will tell you where that email came from. So there have been times where, you know, like I said, I get an email from someone in Atlanta, Georgia, and I research the IP address, and it shows me that it's actually coming from Russia. So I know it's not real. So I give people kind of the behind-the-scenes thing so they know how to protect themselves. And again, it goes back to my dad's advice, you know, don't take anything at face value and always do your homework. You can research companies.
It's really a challenge because so many of us do not really know how to do the research. And that's one of the things right. that your books give information on is how to go about searching things. You also have some very good ideas in here for fast cash. You talk about making money with stuff cluttering your life. You go talk about all kinds of things. But one I thought was really quite interesting was airport parking. You've got a friend who yeah. has a space for five cars, and she charges people $5 a day mm-hmm. to park there, which is substantially cheaper than any other parking spaces, and they do that. Now, she'd have to have a license for that, I'm sure. I'm not sure about it, absolutely, depending on where she lives. But here are people, if they know they're going to have that space, then they go to the airport, they park at her house, and they're on their way. You know, if you've got space in your house, you can rent out for maybe a music studio or something else. You've got all kinds of interesting ideas about what people can do to generate cash. And a lot of it is just great. And if someone's really artistic, they can go to Etsy.com and Artfire.com, their storefronts for artists of all, you know, of all types to participate. You've got just so many recommendations in your book. What is your website that people can go to, Bethany, to get more information? Because these books are really just powerhouses. You've done a great job with them.
Well, thank you, Donna. My website is queenoftherandomjob.com. Because I am queen.
Therandomjob.com.
Yeah, queen.
Well, folks, there you've got it.
Random job.
Yes. She is the queen of random jobs. This is a lady who professionally is a puppeteer, and she has decided she's going to be resourceful, checking out different things, and passes along the information to you. So it's a wonderful resource, both of the books. One is called The Mystery Shopper. There's a training program that goes along with it, very inexpensive. And then also, I Got Scammed So You Don't Have To. Bethany Moradian, and that's Moradian, and she is the queen, again, of the random job. Bethany, it's been a pleasure having you as a guest today. Thank you so very much for being with me, and hey, I wish you continued success.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Donna. It was great talking to you, too.
It's been a pleasure having you. This is Donna Sebo broadcasting to you live from Fairbanks, Alaska. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment, and we'll be chatting some more about some wonderful stuff. Don't forget, check out with Bethany Moradian, yes, the queen of the random jobs. We'll be right back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in Physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back, and I am so delighted to be able to share this time with you. Fairbanks, Alaska. Ah, yes, we're out walking around, and the sun's out, and it's just marvelous. I hope it's dry when I get back home, because it's been dry as a bone up here in the far north, which has been really a joy, and lots of sunshine. For those of you that would like to call in and chat with me today, all I need for you to do is give me a call on our worldwide toll-free number of 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I'm going to this evening be flying into Anchorage, and tomorrow and Friday I will be broadcasting from that beautiful area. Spring in the far north is just incredibly amazing. Everything comes to life so quickly. When I have been up in Fairbanks before, there's been a few trips in the spring that I've made where one day there is literally nothing on the trees. You might be lucky enough to see some buds. The next day, the leaves have totally budded out and unfurled their green glory in a way that just is mind-boggling. You feel like you can watch it happening right in front of your eyes. It's just incredible. That's how it is up in the far north, because they don't have many months of what you call the warmer weather. So Mother Nature just has everything on speed action, and it just moves forward really, really quickly. By the way, tomorrow we're going to be talking about, and this is going to be the Patient's Encyclopedia regarding urinary tract infections. Now, that is a mouthful, but I think you'll find Angela Kilmartin very interesting. We're going to be going to England. Yes, via technology, we'll be in England talking with her. This is a woman that not only had some physical circumstances that she lived through, but also what happened with her is that she decided she was going to become an educator for women so that they do not end up having these conditions that make their lives utterly
miserable. And boy, she's got a story to tell. So we're going to be talking tomorrow with her. And then the Silent Voices of the Soul, Robin Lee Vella, is going to be my guest. Robin is a psychic herself. And this is a story about her experiences, but also how she wants to educate people regarding their own development and what they need to be aware of. She's just an absolutely delightful, lovely person, so she's going to be on the air with me on Friday. So just know we've got some interesting conversations coming up, and hey, you have the opportunity to be here. Also, if you want to give me a call to chat, then give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. And all I need is your first name or your initial, and then I will tell you what I perceive. Of course, I always like to know where you're calling in from. Yesterday, I had mentioned I'd come across some information regarding butterflies. I had a conversation with a friend of mine who is a biologist, botanist, and had worked for the state of Washington doing research, field research, regarding insects. Now, most of us would not even be interested in something like that, but our friend really has a passion for it. And I was talking with him at one time about seeing butterflies, and I just think they're beautiful. I just absolutely love to watch them. And I mentioned I'd seen some monarchs, and I'd seen some other types of butterflies, and he said, sadly, they have been declining in numbers. And he had all kinds of stats, and he said they felt that the butterflies were declining in numbers because of pollution. Pollution from the fact of, you know, using pesticides and other things. And there's not been a whole lot of research or information until fairly recently. Do you know there's that's coming to, bringing to light the fact that the butterflies are not as abundant as it used to be? Well, there is a woman by the name of Leslie, and she has the most beautiful photography about butterflies, and they are just incredible to look at. But she said, what has happened is that there are approximately 800 butterfly species that they know of. And they are the ones that they're mentioning is in the United States and Canada. 17% of them, that's about 140 species, are at risk. Now, there's an organization called NatureServe that really tries to get as much scientific data about butterflies and other insects as they possibly can. Now, there are 22 butterfly species that are endangered at this time. They actually are listed under the Federal Endangered Species Act. But the biggest problem is that due to population growth, so many areas that butterflies would frequent have disappeared. Why? There's been large-scale agricultural changes. There have been plant species that have gone into areas that they weren't there before. And there's also the change in the weather in different areas and environments. And they say the biggest threat is to those butterflies that are in high elevation areas. Now, they say human encroachment, and we know this affects all species on this planet, too many people, a lot of species disappear. But we've got to pay attention. A number of organizations, the Xerces Society is another one. But butterflies are very, very important as far as our ecosystem goes. Why? They pollinate. They're very much like the honeybees. They also are food for birds and many other animals. And they're very, very much a part of the food web that keeps everything in balance on our planet. So, because the butterflies are disappearing, there's definitely something wrong with our system. They said as butterflies decline, other species will decline and drop out of the ecosystem as well. So we really want to save butterflies. Now, I know in Bellingham, Washington, and I know that there's a few other places like this throughout the United States, but in Bellingham, there is actually a butterfly farm, and they raise butterflies. And it's an incredible experience to walk into the actual farm area that they have, because you feel like you've entered into the tropics. It can be freezing outside, and here you walk into this, and it's just amazingly warm. It has a humidity level. They have all kinds of plants and all kinds of species of butterflies, and they show you how they are breeding these butterflies, and many times they're reintroducing them into areas of the wild so that they can repopulate. And of course, with a monarch butterfly, something that they found out recently in research is that the monarch butterflies, when they leave their habitat in Mexico, South America, wherever they may be, it's just incredible to see them there. When they come out, they are just a massive amount of color. Well, when they start their migration pattern, they actually don't survive their migration pattern. They actually will stop in different areas, and there will be a whole new family connection, if you will, and then they'll go on a little bit further, and then that section will pass away, and then there's a new, they lay their eggs, and there's a whole new set of butterflies flying, and they make this migration, and it's like it's put into their butterfly genes, because they know where they're going, and they know how to come back to home base. Actually, three generations will migrate in that pattern that they make that is just so absolutely huge. It's just, it's a fascinating thing. So one of the butterflies, it's really not available very often, is what they call the blue butterfly. And it is absolutely exquisite. It's called the Miami blue. And they say this, they thought that it was extinct. But you know what? The butterflies had just moved. They have gone into smaller habitats, and they like the subtropical hardwoods on which they have all kinds of food. But they say fire ants have invaded certain areas and pesticides have affected. But it's just amazing. They are absolutely determined to survive. So if you'd like to learn about butterflies, you can get a field guide for your area. And most butterflies like warm, dry climates. So you might find them east of the Cascade Range. Also, they're going to be seen more frequently May through October. And you can find out about butterfly exhibits and gardens by going to the butterflyrecovery.org, butterflyrecovery.org. And also, the Audubon Butterflies app is a mobile field guide to more than 600 butterflies of North America. And you can get that on iTunes or Android Market. And you can check out AudubonGuides.com. It's a great way to introduce kids to the wonders of nature. I think that we get so involved in sitting behind our computers, we're so busy, we don't take the time to just walk through our local parks and our local areas. The television is going, we've got computers on, whether they're in our purse or in our hand, and we're just always zoning out of the awareness of this wonderful planet that we live on. And you know what? There are more and more companies coming out with fertilizers that are not going to be toxic to the critters that live on our Earth that provide so much beauty to us. And there are those insect repellents and various other items that you can find. Do your homework on it. Find what you can bring into your yard that's not going to, one, poison the water. Because everything that goes down into the water table, the pesticides that we use on lawns, etc., we become so accustomed to those, we need to know how to adapt into new products, into different things that are not going to cause our water to be affected, because it ends up going out into the ocean, and it ends up affecting all forms of life. So we need to stop poisoning ourselves. That's what we're doing when we don't pay attention. And there's a lot of things to use. It's really an interesting era that we're living in. There was a time that nobody even had an nth of comprehension about how chemicals can affect. And everything is chemical. But it is what works in what way to benefit, to harmonize, instead of being destructive and destroying all of these different forms of life that are so very, very important to the health and well-being of the world, the planet that we live on, that we lovingly call Mother Earth. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to come back. Hey, if you want to give me a call, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I came across a wonderful recipe. It was in a magazine that I was looking at on my flight, and I thought, wow, I've got to share it with you because it is so easy. Are there ever times that you want something that is just sort of gooey, that maybe a hot sandwich? Well, if you're a person that likes grilled cheese sandwiches or things like that, or paninis, this is a version that you could utilize. I think it would be absolutely awesome, and it's real fast and easy to fix. It's called creamy, cheesy, and smoky croissants. Now, croissants have never been my favorite bread, and you could substitute another bread, but so many people just really like them because they're light and they're airy and they're so buttery. So you can buy them already made, and if you wanted to, you've already got the refrigerated dough croissants, so you could bake your own. It wouldn't be any big deal. Or you can make your own, but that takes a lot more time. But this is the recipe, and it is so, so easy. And what a great way to have something really flavorful, and you could substitute meats or do different things with this. It's really a good basic recipe, so let me give it to you. 6 tablespoons of mayonnaise is what you're going to need. 6 tablespoons of mayonnaise, 2 tablespoons of Dijon mustard. You're going to need 2 medium cloves of garlic, and you want to mince that really fine. You want 1 teaspoon of fresh rosemary, and you want to chop that really fine. And you're going to need a little bit of salt. And then you want 4 large croissants, and of course you want to cut them in half, and you need 1/4 cup of sun-dried tomatoes. You want to chop those coarsely. 6 ounces of brie cheese. You want to remove the rind from the brie. You want 6 ounces of Swiss cheese, coarsely grated, and use your, if you can, get the cheese, the Swiss cheese, it's really got a good strong flavor to it. Every Swiss cheese is of its own, and I get every once in a while the Americanized Swiss cheese, and it doesn't have a whole lot of flavor to it, so if you can, get a good quality. And then you need 4 1-ounce slices of smoked turkey. And if you didn't like turkey, you could use ham, you could use whatever is your pleasure, but it's up to you. Now, this is how simple it is. You take your mayonnaise, your mustard, your garlic, and the rosemary. Just mix it all together. It'll take you about 30 seconds. Add salt, and you need to taste it to make sure that it's at that salty level that you want. And then you put it aside for about 30 minutes. You want the flavors to marry. If you have a gathering and you want to fix it the day before, great. Put it in the refrigerator. Mix the batch, put it in the refrigerator, and it's all ready for you the next day. Now, what you want to do is you want to put 2 tablespoons of the mixture on the bottom half of your croissants. Then you layer on your tomatoes, your brie, your Swiss cheese, and whatever your meat is, turkey. Put the top, the croissant top on. You have a nonstick skillet. You heat it over medium-low heat. And what you do, you cook your sandwiches 2 to 3 minutes, covered, until they're golden brown. Now, croissants are loaded with butter. So you've got to really pay attention here. It'd be so easy to burn these. Then you want to turn them over, and then you want to press each with a spatula to compress. Now, if you have a panini machine where you can just put it in, that'll work wonderfully. And you want to do it another 2 to 3 minutes, and you turn once more, pressing again, and cooking it for a minute. And then you put them aside. Don't try to cut them because they're going to be too hot. It's going to be cause the croissant to move all over the place. So what you want to do, you just want to let them sit for about 5 minutes, maybe put a little fruit on the plate, whatever you want to do to garnish, and then serve the sandwiches when they are warm. It is a luscious, luscious sandwich. And there's no limit to how you could do this. Your imagination is your magic wand when it comes to food. It is just absolutely a joy, I think, to have very flavorful foods. You might want to use some fresh basil leaves, things like this. And I think it's terrific. If you want to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756 is the number to call into. Now, there is a woman that is doing something that I think is just phenomenal. We often will ask ourselves, what can I do that makes a difference? What in the world can I don't have the money, I don't have this, I don't have that, so I can't see myself affecting that many people. Well, there was a woman by the name of Sarah in Santa Monica. She just was in her own backyard, which happened to be a beach. And she said, we walk on the beach, my husband and I, all the time. And she said, I'm a big supporter of ocean conservation. And she said, a year ago, I began to notice so many plastic bottles on the beach. And she said, we all know it's not healthy to let this go into the ocean. And so she said, I decided I've got to do something. So she just picked up a plastic bag that particular morning, and she gathered up a few things, took them home, threw them in the trash, the recycle thing for plastic. And she said she thought about it quite a bit. So she decided that she wanted to do something that was going to make a difference, just where she lived. So she started taking plastic bags, the garbage bags that have little ties on them. And every time she would head out in the morning, because she did her walk daily, she would pick up all the trash that she came across on her path. She said it was the equivalent of 2 football fields that I covered when I walked. And she said, I am amazed. I'd go home and I'd talk to my husband, and she said, I was amazed at all the trash that I collected. This was every single day. I was bringing home this bag full. And she said, I'm going to continue to do this. Well, she's been documenting what she finds. She has a blog, and you can go and check it out. It's called thedailyocean.blogspot.com, thedailyocean.blogspot.com. And she decided she was going to set a goal for herself. She was going to be the one-woman beach cleanup person for a full 365 non-consecutive days. So she's keeping track of this. She said she took time off to be with her husband and for other things in her life, but she said every day, I am otherwise averaging a 20-minute beach cleanup. And she said, I started weighing the trash. Do you know she's collected over 700 pounds? 700 pounds of trash. Now, she's in the same area every single day. That's an incredible accomplishment. This is what one person can do. She said, just imagine how much more beautiful our beaches would be if you would join me on your own stretch of sand. Well, I think I'd take it a step further. Imagine what your neighborhood would be if you could do that. I know I'm starting that in our daily walks with my little Scotty Victor, because I'm astonished. I see new trash thrown. People throw stuff out of their cars. So just remember, one person does make a difference. You are significant. Maybe this is an idea that will be significant to you, maybe not. But remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You make a difference. You are significant in this experience of life, and I'm so glad we were able to share this time together. And tomorrow, I'll be talking to you from Anchorage, Alaska. God bless. Have a fabulous day or evening, wherever you might be. And we'll be talking again real soon. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.